pleased with the presence of each one this evening. I purposely didn't turn around and look. I sat down here in front and I heard everybody coming in. And I just said, well, I'm not going to look and see how many would be here. And it's a very pleasant surprise that you're all here. And you, I think, made a wise choice, not because I'm the speaker, but because that we're worshiping God and we are studying His Word. And share with you just a few things that that I've learned in my study that I thought would be worth our time this evening to examine perhaps more carefully than we have before. You made a wise choice this evening. I understand there's lots of other places that someone can go and other things to do, and Saturday night sometimes is very tempting to all the plans you might have had, but you changed them because of the service this evening, and that is to be commendable to everyone that's present. We're thankful for your presence, and bear with us as we study together the Word of God. Our subject this evening is personal faith. And that is, what is the condition of your faith? In each individual, self-examination. What's the condition of my faith? Not yours, but mine. And the same with Heath's faith. And each one of us, what is the health? What's the condition? What's our personal faith like? There are two terms in the Bible that we need to understand concerning faith. And one is the faith, and the other is just faith. And there's a vast difference between the use of those two terms, and we need to understand them in order to understand certain passages of Scripture. The faith is the gospel, the Word of God. When the Bible speaks about the faith, it's generally talking about the gospel or the Word of God. In Acts chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, and Paul was making one of his journeys, and they arrived in he and Barnabas. In verse 8, there was, let me drop back another. Verse 7, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name was by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The deputy said, I desire to hear the word of God. And the sorcerer tried to turn him away from the faith. The word of God, expression, the faith. That's what the faith is. It's the word of God, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the 14th chapter of Paul's journeys, and he visited in the cities of Iconium, or Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And in verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. So they go back to the cities where they had visited before, where they had preached the gospel unto that city. And in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And so it's clear in the Bible, when you're reading and studying the Word of God and you find the expression, the faith, then you can be certain. Perhaps there are exceptions, but very few. You can be certain that it's talking about the gospel, the word of God. And then you have the expression use the faith in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, where he said that Paul was writing and teaching for the obedience to the faith. That is, he was preaching to people, trying to convince them that they needed to obey the gospel, that they needed to be obedient to the faith. Galatians 1 and verse 23, Paul was preaching the faith. In Jude 3, he said, we ought to contend for the faith. It's all talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we don't make the distinction between the faith and faith, we can misunderstand some passage of Scripture. For example, in Romans, the 4th chapter in verse 19, it says, Abraham was weak in faith, referring back to the time that Abraham was to offer his son. And it says, Abraham, I read it wrong there, but Abraham was not weak in faith. And the next verse goes on and says he was strong. But it used the term, Abraham was not weak in faith. His faith was not weak. Romans the 14th chapter and verse 1, the disciple of Christ that was not full, didn't fully understand the whether to eat meats or not eat meats. And it says in verse 1 there that this man was weak in the faith. That is, there was nothing wrong with his personal conviction. He was quite strong in what he believed. He believed he shouldn't eat certain meats, and he wasn't going to let any of the other people try to convince him that he knew what he believed. That was his faith, and that's what he believed. But he was weak doctrinally. He didn't fully understand the faith, the gospel of Christ. He was weak in the faith. Abraham was not weak in faith. Distinction between the two. And if you notice the distinction, then you understand the passage and what the passage is saying. This evening, we're talking about your faith or my faith, individual faith. And the Bible uses it this way in numerous occasions, just citing a few of them in Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. It was the occasion when the multitude of people were following Jesus, and they were crowded around him, and this woman who had been sick for 12 years, and she said if she could just touch his garment, she thought that she would be healed, and she managed to touch her garment, and she was healed. And then the Lord inquired about who that was, and when she made herself known, of course I think the Lord knew, but when she revealed herself to him, the Lord said, Thy faith. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. He's not talking about the faith. He's talking about her faith. Her faith is what made her. She believed that Jesus Christ could heal her. Jeez, and she touched the garment. He was healed. And Jesus said, your faith. It was your faith. That was her faith. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, the occasion here was that a military officer, and he went to Jesus and he said, I have a servant who's sick. And he said, you could heal him. And Jesus said, well, I'll go home with you. And the man says, no. He said, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. He said, I'm a man with authority. And he said, if I say to someone, come, they come. And if I say to someone, go, they go. Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith. Not in all of Israel. What's he referring to? He's not talking about the gospel. He's talking about the kind of faith this man had. This man understood if Jesus has the power over disease, he doesn't have to be present in order to give a commandment, heal or leave or whatever he would say. He said, if you have authority, I'm a man of authority and I understand authority and I know I don't have to be present. When I send a message, a military message, to one of his subordinates and says, come, they come. I don't have to be there. And he said, you can heal him without being there. Jesus said, I've never seen so great faith in all of Israel. You know, the disciples in Luke, the 17th chapter, and Jesus was telling them there about how that they needed to accept a person's repentance. And they said, well, how many times? And he said, 70 times in one day. The next verse, the disciples said, increase our faith. Talking, not about increasing the gospel, talking about their faith. I take from that they felt like their faith wasn't as strong as it needed to be, because it wasn't going to be easy to forgive this fellow that sins against me 7 times in one day, and he keeps coming back for forgiveness. It seems to me to indicate that they weren't sure their faith was that strong. Increase our faith, they said. Or in James chapter 1 and verse 6, he said that we need to ask in faith. Not, we need to ask according to the faith, of course. But James 1 and 6 says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Talking about your personal faith. What is the condition of your faith? How strong is your faith? How healthy is your faith? The strength and the health of each individual, each of us, of our faith can vary. It does vary, I should say. It varies from person to person. My faith might be stronger or weaker than yours. Yours may be stronger or weaker than someone else. Everyone's faith is not exactly the same. I can have strong faith or weak faith. And you can have strong faith or weak faith. This is individual faith. How healthy is my faith? How healthy is your faith? How strong is it? There's different degrees of faith. The Bible talks about mostly on the negative side. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, where he said, if there's no resurrection, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. He's talking about my faith, your faith, individual faith. He said, your faith could be vain. That is, if you based it on something that's not true. But the point is that faith can mean an individual's faith can have a great variety of things. There can be the vain faith. There can be the weak faith, Romans 4:19, concerning Abraham. There can be the dead faith that he mentions in James chapter 2, verses 24 and 26. Without works, it's dead. What's the condition of my faith? Is it weak? Is it vain? It's dead. Is it little? He told his disciples who weren't sure that whether the Lord's going to provide for them as they thought they needed, what you'd eat and what we're going to wear. And they said, oh, Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. He described their faith as being little. I think meaning it's not up to what it ought to be. It's not the kind of faith that they ought to have. And then Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke chapter 22. And he said, Satan wants to, verse 32, I believe it is. Luke 22, verse 32, when Jesus said to Peter, he said, the devil is going to sift you like wheat. But he said, I've prayed that your faith fails you not. We could have a failing faith. Jesus was praying that Peter's faith wouldn't fail him. Of course, if we remember the account of Peter in the garden, what kind of faith did Peter have? Cut off the man's ear. He's ready to fight. A fight to the death, it seemed to be the indication. Peter had strong conviction at that time. Then not too many hours later, you find him there in the assembly of a group of people when Christ is being tried and about to be crucified. And someone says, well, I believe you're one of them. What happened to that Peter we heard about in the garden? And now, what's his faith like now? Extremely weak. Denied it. Cursing, swearing. Wasn't the same kind of faith he had before. Individual faith can change. It can be different from person to person. It can be different in each of our lives. And probably you've had times in your life where you felt like your faith was really strong, and then something happened, and then you felt like it was kind of weak, and you're not sure whether you can handle this. Or what's the condition of my faith? The health of individual faith is not always the same. We need to be concerned. We'll not read the passage, but just make reference to it. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, talking about Abraham's. And he says Abraham's faith was not weak. And he explains to us what weak faith is there. And then he goes on and said, but it was strong. And then it tells you exactly what strong faith is. And basically, it said is that if you've got strong faith, you believe that God can and will fulfill his promises. God can do what he promised to do, and he will do what he promised to do. The difference between weak faith, doubtful, strong faith, confident. But you know, if your faith is strong, very strong, the kind of faith that every individual ought to have is a very strong faith. But you know, every strong faith isn't right. You can have strong faith and be completely wrong. You believe in the wrong thing, but you believe strongly about it. You'd stand on it as far as you know. At this moment of time, this is what I believe, and you'll have trouble trying to get me off of what I believe. My faith is strong, but it could be wrong. And I thought when you just look at the religious world and the different religions that we run across, and I thought about, well, Mormonism, and I don't personally know very many Mormons, but I've seen them in their works, and they travel around the world, and they sacrifice 2 years of their life, and I understand if they still believe what they used to believe, that they paid for it at their own expense. They're going to teach their doctrine all over the world. Well, how would you describe their faith? Strong or weak? Seems like to me they had strong faith. Doesn't make it right, but it was strong. What about the Islam, Mohammedan religion? Ones I've run across seem to have strong faith. They know what they believe. You're not about to get them to change. They're strong about what they believe. Doesn't make them right. Some Christians, same way. There's some Christians that they're very strong in what they believe, but what they believe is not what the Bible teaches. But they know what they believe, and that's what I am. And my grandmother told my mother, she said, I don't care what the Bible said. And then she named the church, and she said, but we do it. And she had strong convictions. It was a strong faith, but it was wrong. And so you can have strong faith, be right, but you can have strong faith and be wrong. Israel had strong faith in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, when he said that they desire to please God. But being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they established their own righteousness and were ignorant of the righteousness of God. Israel in Romans 10 had a strong faith, but their faith was wrong. You know why these different religions have different faiths? Why the Mormons can be strong in their faith, but it's not the same faith that the Mohammedans have. Mohammedan religion, they can have strong faith, but it's not the same that the Mormons have. Both of them are very strong. And then there's Christian churches where people are very strong in what they believe, but it's different from the Mormons and it's different from the Mohammedans. And what makes the difference here? Why was it that Israel was strong in faith, but he said they were wrong? He said it was the source of the faith. Where did it come from? The Mormons. We know what their faith is. We know they're strong about what they believe. Where did they learn it? The Book of Mormon. Islam. What about these people, the suicide bombers now? Mohammedans, willing to sacrifice themselves and many other people with them. Destruction, killing, because of what they believe. You think he's got strong faith? I think he does. Well, what's the source of that faith? It's the Quran. It's their Bible. That's where their faith comes from. Israel's faith, he said, they'd invented their own. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. They had their own teaching, doing what they believe. Lots of Christian people call themselves Christians, at least, that are serving God, and they're zealous about it, and they believe seriously and honestly believe what they've learned to believe. And where'd you learn it? I learned it from my preacher. Or this is what my church teaches. What's the source of your faith? Well, if you're Mormon, the source is the Book of Mormon. If you're a member of the Islam religion, then it's the Quran. That's the source. That's where the faith comes from. If you're Israel, he said, well, they wrote their own, Romans 2. They didn't know God's righteousness, so they established their own righteousness. Faith of which God approves. Faith that God approves of. What is acceptable faith or God-approved faith? The scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. There's the source. Any other source, you've got the wrong faith. Doesn't matter the source. We don't need to be concerned about what the source was. But if it's not the word of God, he said it's the wrong source. And if the source or where your faith came from didn't come from the word of God, then it's wrong. God doesn't approve. It's unacceptable. The gospel is the only source of biblical faith. Faith comes by hearing, as we said in Romans 10 and verse 17. Hearing the word of God. If your faith didn't come from the word of God, you might have strong faith, but it's the wrong faith. The source needs to be God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Of God. So many people, faith, the religious world, their faith is standing in the wisdom of men, what some man has written, a catechism, a manual, a discipline, all of these different books that they talk about, or the various religions. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What does he mean by the power of God? Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, power of God, and the wisdom of God. He said, your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men. It needs to stand in the power of God. And what's the power of God? It's the preaching of the gospel. It's preaching Jesus Christ that was crucified. Chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, he said. Pay attention to books that men have written. Or someone says that, well, one of our prophets years ago found another book. And this is the message that's in the book. And wrong faith. He said the wisdom that God's, the faith that God approves of, comes from the Word of God. And you know the passage in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, when he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. Your faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, he said. Stands in the power of God. Preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, your faith is supposed to be the same as the faith. Now, it may not be, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Because my faith, the source and the origin, it should have come from the Word of God. And if it came from the Word of God, then what I believe ought to be what's in the Word of God. And if I don't believe what's in, if my belief is different, then it came from some other source. Here's the source. This is the source of the kind of faith that God expects. This is the faith that you need to have. What you believe. You don't believe what the church believes. You don't believe what the preacher preaches. You believe what the Scripture says. Now, if the church believes the same thing, that's good. And if the preacher, he better be preaching the same thing. But the source of your faith is the Word of God. And I like the example of Timothy. Remember when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy? And he says, I know the faith that your mother and your grandmother had. And he said, I suspect that you have the same kind of faith. But you know, Timothy's faith, the source wasn't his mother and his grandmother. Well, I'm sure they led him in the right direction, and they probably often talked about the faith that they have and what they had learned and what they had believed. But then you go over to the same book, chapter 3 and verse 15, and he said, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which make thee wise to salvation. What was the source of Timothy's faith? Same source, I guess, of his mother and his grandmother. His source, the source of Timothy's faith, was not what does my mother and grandmother believe, but rather from a child he'd learned the Holy Scriptures. That's the source of the faith of which God approves. And that's what faith that you should have. Your faith should be simply, I believe exactly what the Bible teaches. That's what your faith should be. Well, what about strong faith then? Well, you need to have that kind of faith, but it then, one step further, it needs to be strong. You don't want to have, well, I believe, you know, my faith is the same as the Bible, but it's kind of weak, it's sick, it's failing, it's dead. No, we don't want that kind of faith. We want a faith whose source is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's strong. Has to be strong. It needs to be strong enough that you'll meet every circumstance that you might face in your lifetime, and your faith will triumph. You won't get discouraged. You won't give up. You won't turn back. It's strong faith. It's not easily destroyed or corrupted. How will it stand up, as we spoke last evening, under tragedies? You know, everything's good in my life. If you remember the example in Job. Job had it great. Everything was perfect. Couldn't be any better. Then it turns worse. Couldn't be any worse. Worst of it ever was. Job had strong faith. But I just mentioned that as an illustration to say that we need to have strong faith too. We're not going to face Job's trials, but we're going to find many tests of our faith. How will I handle it? Well, it's better be strong. I know what I believe is right, and that's what God says we should believe, and that's the way we ought to behave and act and so forth. But is my faith a strong faith? What if your alone somewhere. We have here, we have a church, more than one church in this community. With this congregation here, and you can come, and there's other members, and if something kind of goes wrong with it, you can get encouragement to them. But suppose something changes in your life, or you're forced to move off because of work or somewhere, and you find you're in a community where there isn't a church. Now what about your faith? How strong is it? Are you going to meet there, husband and wife or family? Are you going to try to find the church as close as it can be and then drive maybe 50 or 60 miles to get there? Or are you just going to kind of, no church, I guess can't go anymore? How strong is your faith? What about congregational division? Lots of people lose their faith or give up because division in the congregation. And they say, I've had enough of it. Everywhere I go, it's just trouble, trouble, trouble. Faith's too weak. That's not to say the division's right. But the point is that we got to be stronger than that because we're going to run into difficulties. We're going to be run into things in our life that circumstances will sort of challenge your faith to see how strong it is. Maybe a football game on Saturday night might be testing our faith. How strong is your faith? Disappointment in fellow Christians. A man told me many, many years ago, the very man that converted him. This was in a foreign country, and the man was converted through the teaching of this American that went over there. And then a few years later, the fellow hears about the fellow that was teaching him the gospel and telling him what he needed to be saved, had left the faith. Some people would quit then. I mean, see, if the fellow that converted me doesn't believe it, why should I stay with it? How strong is your faith? In the book of Hebrews, he gives us an example of the kind of how strong our faith needs to be. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I think we recognize that we need to have strong faith, and it's going to have to be strong enough to meet whatever challenges that the life brings upon me. I'm not thinking here about things you had to choose. These are things that life just throws at you. That's just the way it is. One day you go into work and your boss said, well, this is your last day. Business is down. I mean, you didn't vote on that. You didn't decide, let me see, am I going to go to work? Am I going to quit work? It just happened to you. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. When something comes, circumstances in life, I thought, last year my faith was strong when I was assembling with a whole group of Christians, and suddenly circumstances changed, and how strong does my faith need to be? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, starting at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, that is when you were converted, when you first received your enlightenment, when you first obeyed the gospel, he said, those former days, after you were illuminated, ye endured great fight of afflictions. Soon after you obeyed the gospel, you didn't decide on this. This is what happened to you. There was afflictions that you had to fight. Next verse. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. It doesn't sound like easy times for these Christians, these young Christians. And partly while you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, they weren't really persecuting you, but they're persecuting you because you're a friend of Paul. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. There's faith. Cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. And he goes on and talks about faith a little, and then drop down to verse 38 and says, now the just will live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How strong do we need our faith needs to be? Well, just taking this example, it needs to be very strong. He said, you may suffer the spoiling of your goods, you may suffer afflictions and persecutions, all these difficult times that you might run into. And he said, what you need is strong faith. The just will live by faith. Turn to the next chapter of Hebrews, verse 32 and 33. What shall I say more? For the time will fail me to say of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued. Faith carried them through. They came face to face with difficult problems, but their faith was strong. Philippians chapter 4 is a good example. There are numerous, I'm sure, in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect, this is from Paul writing to the Philippians, and he thanking them for the gifts or the support that they'd ministered unto him. And he says, but I rejoice in the Lord. When I'm wrong, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, it doesn't matter what life is going to deal me. He said, I'll be content. Well, what do you mean, Paul? I mean, how difficult is it going to be? He said, no, I've learned to be content. I know how both to be abased, that is, not to have anything, and I know to abound, how to be rich. He said, my riches won't destroy my faith, and my poverty not going to destroy my faith. Why, he said, I've been everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. There's not many of us, we talk about being hungry, but I don't think there's many of us that have really been hungry in our lives. Paul said, I've learned to be full, and I've also learned to be hungry, to abound, and to suffer need. How'd you do it, Paul? Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Strong faith. He can live in poverty, be hungry. Faith is still strong. He can be rich and successful. His faith is still strong. How strong a faith do we have? We need to have strong faith, and we need to examine ourselves, and we need to keep checking on it and make sure it's strong enough. But then there's another thing that comes up, not just the things of life that presents itself unexpectedly, and maybe you're a little bit unprepared for it, but we also need a faith that's courageous. And that is, it's courageous enough that you'll make the right choice. You see, my last point about strength, it wasn't you choosing. It was just circumstances come up. Unexpected things. Wow, I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. This one, courage, is when you have a choice to make. And even when the choice is a hard one, an unpleasant one, you make the right choice. You have a courageous faith. Your family disapproves of your obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, very much disapprove. In fact, they tell you as a teenager, let's say, you obey the gospel, don't bother to come home tonight. And they meant it. And they lived by it. And this young fella lived with his grandmother from then on. That's courageous faith. We need to have faith that's courageous enough to make a decision between worship and a sporting event. Hard decision, isn't it? I like sporting events. I like to watch football and lots of sporting things. And sometimes you come up face to face with a choice. When I first thought about this, I was not thinking about Alabama's football game tonight, but I was thinking about high school students and their high school game is going on, or maybe they're a player on a high school team, and they come up face to face with somebody. It's a special playoff, and this fella's on the first string of the high school team, and the playoff's on Wednesday night. And we've had young people present on Wednesday night. The coach said, well, hurry as quick as you can, try to be here by halftime. Takes a lot of courage for that young person to make that decision. He's choosing between religious or worship and a sporting event. Another choice you run into, between modesty and style. There are a lot of Christians, and you go to the store to buy something. I think maybe the men are a little more fortunate in this regard, because generally it seems that men's clothing are more acceptable in according to God's word than some of the things they try to sell to the ladies. But the thing is, when you go into the store and you look at it, and it's a beautiful dress, and you've got friends there with you, and say, "Well, try it on. You know, try it on," and you recognize immediately it's immodest. You don't feel comfortable. You don't like it. Well, it's a beautiful dress. And they assure you it's a beautiful dress. And they keep saying, buy it. It looks so good on you. But because of your courageous faith, you say, "No, it's not my kind of dress." A tough decision between modesty and style. There's peer pressure. Peer pressure, he writes about in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, when they say they don't understand why you don't go with them anymore, why you don't run with them anymore. They're going to ridicule you. You know, "What's wrong? You used to go with us all the time, and now you don't go anymore." And they're not satisfied just to say, "We don't understand why you don't go." But then the same verse goes on and says, "And they speak evil of you." And so suddenly you become the evil one because you're objecting to their immorality. And they start telling people how evil you are. Tough decision. Peer pressure. What if this was the last worship service that we could hold publicly in Coleman tomorrow? New law. No more church assemblies. Can't come together anymore. You can't meet as groups at home. The law. We're finished with religion in Coleman. Forbidden to assemble. You know, there are places in the world they're forbidden to assemble. And I suppose there's a lot of people in those places, maybe they just don't assemble. But there's other places that Christians assemble, in the woods, somewhere they have to hide, hope the government doesn't find out about it. And if they do find out about it, they put them in prison, so a certain length of time. It's not too far away, brethren. It may not be too many years, but we'll have the same law here. They're already closing people who had Bible study in their home in California. They took it to the court, and the court ruled they couldn't have Bible study in their home. Need to be a public building. You can't use a house as a church. Closed up that fellow's Bible study. I don't remember which state, probably California again, but where they went in, the preacher was reading Romans chapter 1. Talks about homosexuality and the sin. They come in and took it to the court. You can't use that kind of language. There's people in this community that don't like you talking about them in that manner. And the court decided that the preacher couldn't read Romans chapter 1. Not very far off. You're going to need courageous faith. It's going to be tough when the time comes, but it may not be too far away. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Well, how courageous does our faith really need to be? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You think that's a big deal? Pharaoh's the king. At that time, I suspect probably among the richest of the rulers of the world. He was considered the son of Pharaoh. The grandson of Pharaoh. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. And when Moses become of age, I don't know what age that was, but making his own decisions. And he said, "I'm not going to be Pharaoh's grandson." Moses, you realize what you're not going to get? You're not going to be Pharaoh any. You're not going to have all of that treasures or whatever went with it. He said, "I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." You know, it's one thing to say, "Well, no, I'm nothing to do with Pharaoh. I'm through with that. But I don't want to associate with Israelites because the Jews made them slaves." Now, Moses, he said, "I refuse to be the grandson of Pharaoh." And, well, what are you going to replace it with? He said, "The people of God. I'm going to be among the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Verse 26, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt." Moses, you've got a choice. It's one of those times in your life that you'll have to choose. We're not forcing it on you. It's your choice, Moses. You can either choose the riches of Egypt, the treasures of Egypt, or the reproach of Christ. And he had the courage to say, I choose the reproaches of Christ. That's courageous faith. And what makes it possible is that he had a strong faith that was courageous enough to choose or to make the right choice even when it's difficult. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, when he says that all those that are born of God are born anew, he said, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. If you're going to reach that victory, it depends upon your personal faith. Faith whose source is the Word of God. And it's strong enough to triumph over everything you face in this life. And courageous enough to choose the right even when it's difficult. He closes his discussion about this kind of faith in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and actually the very last verse. But he said in verse 35, cast not away your confidence. Hold to that faith that you have. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if you draw back, my soul has no pleasure in you. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Is that your faith? That's what you have to have. We are not of those that draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of their souls. That's not just saying, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, this is believing, he said, where no matter what you face in life, your faith will triumph. And no matter what choices have to make, you'll choose the reproaches of Christ over the riches in Egypt. That's the kind of faith that we need to have, firmly grounded in the faith. Is the gospel of Christ the source of your faith? It should be. Your faith should be the same as the faith. And then it needs to be strong, it needs to be courageous, it needs to be a faith that believes to the saving of your souls. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. And I understand that the original statement there is, if it costs you your life. That just reminds me here in Hebrews the 12th chapter in verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It might cost you your life. You may be face to face with a decision that either you deny Christ or it's death. He said to the Hebrews, you've had some difficulties, but you haven't come face to face yet with death. We haven't either. But that's the kind of faith we need to have. Strong enough faith that it meets the challenges of this life and courageous enough to always answer right. Do the right thing, as we say. Lesson this evening is to us as Christians, encourage us to be strong. Have a strong faith. Know what you believe and stand for what you believe in. And it'd be very difficult for anybody to ever shake your faith, to change your character. And you fight for it. You remember Paul said, fought a good fight and I finished the course? I think he's talking about a courageous and strong faith. I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and kept the faith. And that's the only way you're going to keep the faith. Fight a good fight. Finish the course, and you'll keep the faith. Revelation 2 and 10 again. Someone here this evening that's not a Christian, not a child of God, you need to obey the gospel. And it needs to be founded upon that faith. And the source of your faith is the gospel of Christ. It tells us to believe on Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, confess that faith before men, be baptized into Jesus Christ, and then live faithfully, even if it's going to cost you your life. Faith that does not draw back, but believes to the saving of your souls. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come while we stand and while we sing.